Thank you everyone for coming. My talk will be on uncertainty assessment of soil property estimations and spatial soil models using visible near-infrared diffuse reflectance spectra. So the motivation for this research is based on the fact that it's been well demonstrated that soil visible near-infrared diffuse reflectance reflects the composition of the soil, the mineral and carbon phases. And so by integrating this data into our spatial models, we may be able to add more direct information into these models than using other environmental covariates such as imagery or topographic attributes. And ideally, this should help to reduce the uncertainty of our spatial predictions. So the objectives for this study were to assess the uncertainty and total organic carbon predictions within an agricultural village in India. This was done aspatially using only the visible near-infrared diffuse reflectance measurements. And this was done spatially using two different models, one just using the point total organic carbon measurements, and another model that incorporated the point measurements as well as the points visible near-infrared diffuse reflectance. So the study area is located in the semi-arid tropics of southern India. It's about 300 kilometers west of Hyderabad. It's about 37 square kilometers in size, and we took 256 geo-reference soil samples from the 0 to 15 centimeter depth. So the methods for this were to first transform the data TOC via log transformation to approximate normality. We then randomly subset the data into a calibration validation set, 70% in the calibration, 70 in the calibration, and 30 in the validation. And then the fixed effects are the visible VNIR DRS modeling. Was done by scanning the soils in the 350 to 2500 nanometer range at one nanometer resolution. This was then averaged to reduce dimensionality over 10 nanometer intervals and then transformed to pseudo-absorbance or the log of the 1 over reflectance. And that transformation was based on previous modeling using PLR partial least squares regression. But to make the data more compatible with the spatial model, we reduced the number of variables by using stepwise linear regression to determine the optimal bands for the model. And then this resulting model was then jackknifed over 1,000 iterations for our uncertainty analysis. And then for the spatial modeling, we used Bayesian kriging to determine the spatial uncertainty. And this was implemented using the SP Bayes package in R. And here we have the form of the model. Y is TOC, our response. X represents our fixed effects. This, in this case, will be the spectral bands that are used. Beta is our coefficients. W represents the spatial random effects. So this will be the nugget, sill, and range. And epsilon is our error terms. To set the priors for this model, I fitted a semi-variogram to the calibration data and used those parameters as the priors. So the two models that we did looked at the spatial effects only. For this, our X matrix was set to 1 for the intercept term. And the spatial and fixed effects model, the X was set to the bands that we selected from these stepwise multiple linear regression. And then the modeling was done over 15,000 iterations and 3 Markov chain Monte Carlo samplers. This was to obtain a parameter distribution. So the stepwise multiple linear regression picked out 4 bands here. By jackknifing, we can determine that all 4 of these bands are in fact significant. These are the prediction range, or excuse me, the confidence intervals. And for linear models, the confidence interval that does not contain 0 is considered to be significant. And then down here we have the two spatial models. The first one is just looking at the spatial effects. And the second one is looking at the spatial and fixed effects. So we looked at the two red boxes here. This is the range of the model, which shows the greatest effect of adding the spectral data to our spatial model. Our range is about the same for the mean for both models, but our confidence interval becomes much tighter when we add the spectral data. And this is also shown in the standard deviation. It goes from 25.4 to 4.9. And then another effect of adding the spectral data is that our nugget becomes a little bit smaller as some of the variance of the spatial distribution is explained by the spectral data. So first, looking at the spectral model, here we have the calibration and validation plots. These are the mean plots. And our spectral model did moderately well with the R-square of 0.49 for the calibration, which degraded slightly to 0.33 for the validation. And overall, our models slightly underpredict. We have a slightly negative bias down here. But the root mean squared error is acceptable, is less than 1%. And then looking at the spatial models, if you just look at the spatial effects only, the model prediction is not as strong as the spectral data, as the R-squared is about 0.23. It's still under-predicting overall. The root mean squared error is slightly higher. But then when we add the spectral data to the spatial model, we do get a large increase in our R-squared. But this comes at the price of a large bias. And we also have this problem here where we're predicting negative values for TOC. And if we look at the histograms for the predictions, over here are the mean values, and then 2.5 to 97.5 percentiles. The prediction range over the spectral model only does not include any negative values anywhere within the prediction, the confidence interval. But if you look at the spatial model, the lowest prediction does have a few negative values here at the 2.5 percentile. And then for the spatial and spectral model, we see that we are getting negative values up to the 75 percentile. So this is the mean prediction, Bayesian prediction map for just the spatial data only. And it does do a relatively good job of predicting the higher values here, represented in green, of the observed data. There are a few points where this pattern is not well presented. I cannot make a map for the spectral data, since the spectral data at this point is just point data as well. And then this is the standard deviation of the spatial prediction, and we see that the higher standard deviations are also in the areas where it had higher TOC measurements as well. So overall, our uncertainty analysis provided us with 95% confidence intervals for all the parameters that we use in our models. The spectral modeling provided us with a stronger TOC prediction than the spatial model only. And then the addition of the spectral data to the spatial model helps reduce the uncertainty by decreasing the range in our spatial coefficients. But by adding the spectral data, the model did suffer with an increase in the bias, absolute bias, with this gain in predictive strength. And this may be because the model was underparameterized or the spectral transformation that was used was not appropriate. So in conclusion, jackknifing and Bayesian techniques allow for an assessment of a range of our predictions, as well as the significance of our parameters. And by integrating spectral data and spatial models with different spatial spectral transformations, we may be able to find more appropriate transformations for including into the spatial model. And then additional environmental variables can also be integrated into these models, and this will help to ensure that the model is properly parameterized and help avoid negative predictions. So I'd just like to acknowledge the staff at ICRISAT and the villagers of Musuti for helping out, as well as my lab group. Thank you.
Overfitting with Bayesian isn't as much of an issue as it is with parametric tests. Would you ever expect potential for the spatial and the spectral not to reduce, or the addition of the spectral to the spatial not to reduce the spatial component?
You mean as to reduce the uncertainty or to reduce the range?
To reduce the uncertainty.
Well, the spectral data is measuring directly on the soil properties. VNIR data has been well documented in being able to predict TOC concentrations. So you would expect that if we include this data into the model, that should help to reduce some of the uncertainty in the parameter predictions. That one is a little bit more difficult to add into the model. I was only there briefly for about 6 weeks. The area was about 37 square kilometers, and we're on a time limit. So I didn't really get much information from the farmers directly. It would have been nice to include that data into the model, but we may be able to use some imagery to help fill in that gap